In Philippians chapter 2 tonight, just want to share a few things with you regarding, you know, Philippians, for the most part, is a book that is really Paul commending them and really thanking them for how faithful they are. But as we all know, even in your most faithful church, if you want to put it that way, there are still issues, okay? Issues that come up because it's just reality, right? I mean, we're fallen people. And like I said this morning, every one of us has a stubborn, selfish streak that runs right through us, every one of us. It's just there. And so it's constantly being checked by the Holy Spirit, and we're getting in line with Him, and we just have to submit our hearts unto the Lord's heart and His will. And Philippians is another testimony. Again, Paul didn't really say anything negatively as a general whole about this church. They were preaching the gospel. They were living godly lives. But even that, there was some concerns that he had even for the church of Philippi. One of them he's going to deal with in chapter 3, and that was false teachers. You had the Judaizers that were basically adding works to salvation. He's going to deal with that. He even shares his own testimony. He's basically going to say, hey, look, if anybody's got some room to brag here about their religious credentials, I'd be the one. But he says, those religious credentials are like dung, manure. He said that's nothing, because what we need is Christ. We need Christ for salvation. So that was chapter 3. But then there was another one that I believe is even hinted at here in chapter 2, the beginning part. But there's another one that in chapter 4, notice there in chapter 4, I had you in chapter 2. Can you just glance there at chapter 4 for a moment? I do want to just reference something before we go back to chapter 2, verse 1. He says here, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, these people were so precious to him, my joy and my crown. He says, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche. All right, these are two women in the church that he is naming. I don't know why. We don't know specifically what the problem was, but there was a problem of some disunity. There had just perhaps is a difference in opinion. Maybe one wanted to be in charge of the choir. Maybe one wanted to be in charge of this and that. Maybe one wanted to be in charge. I have no idea. We don't know. The Bible's not clear on what the problem was, but there was a spirit of disunity. And it says here, he says, I'm encouraging you here in the end of verse 2, that ye be of the same mind in the Lord. He's talking about the importance of unity right there. He's talking about the importance of not uniformity. There's a difference. You can have uniformity without unity. The Bible wants us to strive for unity. That means even with our differences, we submit those differences unto the Lord and we forbear one another, we defer to one another, we prefer one another. That is just what God's people do. But there was an obviously situation here where, Paul's going to give attention to it. He says even there in verse 3, he goes and talks about some of these different workers in the gospel with Clement and the fellow laborers. But I just wanted to draw that attention to, even in a spirit-filled church, even when a church is being faithful, it's not going to be without complications, bumps in the road, if you will, things that need to be just really considered and worked through and walked through. And I just want to speak on a couple things tonight that will help us to do that. Because he brings out some very important approaches there in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, if there be, therefore. Now, it's important. When you see a therefore in the Bible, you need to ask, why is it therefore? Because he is referring to several verses in chapter 1 there at the end, verses 27 through 30, he's basically telling them how to walk through persecution. You can see it there real quickly. Verse 28, he says, "And nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me." So he's referring to this persecution and conflict that was there. And then he says, because of that, now if there be therefore, now in light of this persecution, where stress levels can be high, where disagreements can flare up quickly, he says this, "There be therefore any consolation in Christ." He's going to name basically four things here. That's the first one. The second one is this, "If any comfort of love." The third one he's going to mention here, "If any fellowship of the Spirit." And then fourthly, he's going to mention here, "If any bowels and mercies." He's going to say, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Get this. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I just want to preach a message to you, a short message here to you tonight. You say, is that possible, Brinson? I hope so, okay? But I just want to preach a message to you entitled this, "Let's Stick Together." Let's stick together. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just thank You so much for Your Word, and I thank You that it's clear, and Lord, as even we looked at this morning, just the love that You command us to have one for another. And I pray that we would just let that, Lord, be true in each of our lives. I thank You so much for being faithful. I thank You so much for being our God. It's in the precious name of Jesus I pray these things. Amen. Well, he says here, because of the consolation in Christ, he's basically talking about the very fact that they had been saved. They had found the gospel, and the gospel found them. And because of that, there is an obvious encouragement from Paul that, first of all, remember the consolation you have in Christ. You know, tonight we think upon the comfort we have in Christ. Let's just think of some of the things. What does Christ extend to us? The goodness of God. I mean, we think of Jesus' salvation that He's given to us, what we didn't deserve. He extends patience to us daily. He extends just kindness to us daily, grace to us daily. And we find that comfort in Christ. And basically what he's saying here, in my opinion, I draw from this, it's quite interesting. Can I just paraphrase? Look, if you have experienced the blessings of Jesus in your life, if you have the consolation of Christ in your life, I'm going to tell you, it's going to help you be of one mind. It's going to help you stick together. Because you're going to realize, and I'm going to realize, that praise God, you know what Jesus did for me. He not only says if there be any consolation in Christ, but number two, he says if any comfort of love. If any comfort of love, you could say it like this, has the comfort of God's love made a difference in your life? Has it made a difference in my life? Does God's love guide you daily, as we preached, even looked at this morning? Has it impacted your heart? Does it constrain you? Because if it does, that is going to cultivate a heart and an atmosphere of unity. You can apply this in the local church. You can apply this in the home. You can apply this anywhere you like. It is obvious that he is saying if there be any comfort of love. These people had been comforted in hard times. Some of you may have experienced some hard times recently, and God sent you some comfort. It's so important, is it not? God's comfort to us in difficult times And you know what? There are times when a local church or a family goes through a difficult time, and you know what's going to hold that church together? It's going to be a comfort of love. A comfort of love. But then, thirdly here, he says, if there be any fellowship in the Spirit. Fellowship. Now, most of the times when Baptists think of fellowship, we automatically think of fried chicken. We think of food. You know, I heard one Baptist preacher say one time, he says, I'm convinced that pastors think that Bible verse says instead of but grow in grace, he thinks it says, that Baptists think it says grow in grease. I don't know if that means that or not. But he was making a point, you know, just kind of messing with Baptists. We do like fellowship. We do like having good, and that's biblical, by the way, having fellowship around food. It's absolutely biblical, and I love it when we do it. And I look forward to doing more and more of it. But the fact of the matter is, do we believe that the Spirit brings us in as a community? We are a community of believers here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And we believe that the Holy Spirit has led us to this place. The Holy Spirit has obviously guided each of us in such a way. And I think about the young people here tonight. You know, I know many of them went out for practice, but we still have some here. You are here. God has brought all of us here with all our idiosyncrasies and all our different backgrounds and strengths and weaknesses and personalities and all those things that you consider. I believe Paul is saying here, look, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, God's going to help use that to stick together. The fellowship of the Spirit. Does it mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to me? Well, if it does, I believe it's going to bring forth some great longevity in serving the Lord. And then he says here, he says, not only if any fellowship of the Spirit, but then fourthly, he says, if any bowels and mercies. In the Bible, and even in that culture, Eastern culture, you know, we use, and the Bible uses heart too, but you know, many times we'll just say, boy, that really touches my heart. We use that phrase. Well, in figure of speech in the Eastern culture, they would talk about their bowels, their stomach. That really touches my stomach. That makes my stomach move in a good way. And they were not talking about indigestion, okay? They would use almost like, I guess, butterflies in your stomach in a good way. The bowels. They would give reference to that and what that was representing. Like we would say a heart represents care. Well, they would say that that represents care. If there be any care among you, a careful spirit, a caring spirit, I should say, a caring mind, a caring approach. If there be any bowels and mercies, it's just talking about, look, if you really care about each other, if you really care about the health of the church and you care about each other's growing in grace and making strides in the Christian life, he said, look, that's going to keep you together. And it's not only going to keep you together to survive, but it's going to keep you together to thrive. Notice what it says here in verse 2. He says, basically, I want you to be like-minded, having that, there's that same love. There's that one accord, that sameness, that walking in step together of one mind. And the way we accomplish this is said in verse 3. We do not let anything be done through strife. Boy, I tell you, if there's any marriage counseling I can give, it's going to be on what not to do. Can anybody agree with that? Things you've learned not to do? Am I alone up here tonight? Help me out, folks. All right. Thank you. All right. There are some things that we learn what not to do. And one of the things that I believe here is that I realize that you can disagree and still be friends. As a couple, as your spouse, and even as church members, there may be times we don't see eye to eye on something. And I want to tell you, we can still be great, great friends. We can be brothers and sisters in Christ. We can walk together and for the cause of Christ. Now, again, if there's a violation of doctrine, obvious violation of Scripture, that's different. Okay, that puts someone in sin, whomever it might be. And there's still to be love extended there, but it still has to be confronted. It still has to be dealt with, because we all know that the Bible does not allow for there to be sin in the camp. When I say sin, it means basically living openly in sin without any repentance. But we certainly are going to have some of those issues. And he says, hey, you don't let anything be done through strife or vain glory. That word strife is obvious, is it not? It is something that when we look to one another in times of difference, we don't we're willing to say, you know what? I'll defer here. I'll prefer you here. I'm not going to look down on you. You're not looking down on me. We are seeking to have a lowliness in mind, because that's what it says in verse 3. It says in lowliness of mind, that's a spirit of humility. And get this, we esteem other better than ourselves. I believe what that is teaching is that we're all about helping each other grow in Christ. I hope you're about me growing in grace and making steps forward for Christ. I hope that's what your desire is and prayer is for me, and that's mine for you. I want to see you grow, and I believe that's what he's talking about. We prefer one another. We're pulling for one another. I got a friend of mine. Y'all know Dale Cunningham. He's an encourager, and one of the things he'll do many times is he'll send me a text, and he uses a phrase almost every time. He a lot of times sends it on Sunday morning, but he uses three words, and I love it because it's getting in my soul, and it's the mentality I want to have towards people. Those three words are this: cheering you on. Cheering you on. And I believe that's what the spirit is of this. We are cheering each other on for Christ. And just saying, let's go forward. And yes, we're going to have some differences and hiccups and bumps and things, just like in any family, any situation. But praise God, we can stick together and be used mightily for God. And of course, it goes even deeper when he gives attention to the humility of Jesus. We won't be able to dive into that tonight. But let's just thank God for the unity that He gives us, because, hey, unity is from the Spirit. Amen? Amen.